And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, just a while back, we had my good friend. He's a new friend, but he's a good friend. Pastor Stephen Anderson. He's from Arizona, pastor of a Baptist church there. And he, working with Paul Wittenberger, has done a video entitled Marching to Zion. You know, all of these questions that you and I have about Israel, the Jews, even my book, DNA, a Science and the Bloodline of the Jews, whether they're Khazars or whether they're true Jews or not, they claim they're Jews, but it seems like they're just Polish people from Khazaria. But all of these things and what the Bible says about Israel, about Jerusalem, about the synagogue of Satan, these are mighty, mighty questions. And Pastor Anderson is going to help me to unravel the question, really, of what is a Jew, where are they headed? What about the rabbis? What do the rabbis really believe? What is there a sexual content to their religion? Don't they believe in the Old Testament? Isn't that the only difference between Christianity and Judaism, that we've just tacked on the New Testament? What about that? And aren't really Jews more spiritually, you know, discerning? I remember talking to Brother J.R. Church, Prophecy in the News organization in Oklahoma, and he told me he had a Jewish rabbi friend in Oklahoma City who was so spiritually alert. And every year he would go to that rabbi and ask him, is Jesus coming this year? He told me the rabbi would know because he's a rabbi. And I question that. I'm going to ask Pastor Anderson, does he think a rabbi would know more than a pastor about these things? And we've just got so many questions. And I want to thank you, Pastor Stephen Anderson, for coming to Power Prophecy today.
Well, thank you for having me on.
You know, we discussed this about an hour before, and there's so many questions we had. Now, the content of this video, tell us a little bit about what is the content, and what? Why did you work on this video with this, Paul Wittenberger?
Well, the content of the video is that we show the history of the Jews basically from A.D. 70 until now, what will be known as the post-biblical history. And this film has four rabbis that span the whole spectrum of Orthodox, Reform, conservative rabbis. And then we also have seven Baptist pastors. We talked to a few DNA science experts. And we tried to leave no stone unturned. There's only so much you can do in 90 minutes, but we packed a lot of information in 90 minutes, a lot of scripture, a lot of evidence. And the goal of the film is to prove once and for all who are God's chosen people. And it's not the physical nation of Israel over in the Middle East. It's us as believers.
Well, now, Michael Hoffman, a good friend of mine, he wrote a book called Judaism's Strange Gods. And he said this, and I want to ask your opinion of it. He said, quote, Judaism is not based on the Old Testament. Judaism's God is not the God of Israel, but the strange gods and goddesses of the Talmud and Kabbalah. What about that statement?
Well, that's absolutely true, because the Bible flat out says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father.
Mm.
But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So it's amazing to me when a Christian can look you in the face and say, well, the Jews are worshiping the same God we're worshiping. They just don't believe in Jesus, but they're worshiping the God of the Old Testament. Well, God says, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Well, clearly they have a God that they worship. And if it's not the Father, if the Bible clearly tells us that it's not the God of the Bible, then who do they have? And I think the answer to that question is clearly Satan. That is the God of Judaism.
Well, doesn't the Bible say don't have any other, that's the Ten Commandments. It starts off by saying don't have any strange gods. But this adds goddesses. Evidently, the Jews actually in Judaism believe in goddesses and gods.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that they use the term Shekinah, which they claim is the feminine aspect of God, that's completely foreign to the Christian understanding of who God is, where he's called God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and where the Bible talks about man being made in God's image and so forth. And we know when Jesus walked on this earth, he was a man. But the Jewish God is actually both male and female.
Male and female. Well, that's sort of modern, isn't it? Isn't that what the New Age movement?
It's perfect for our gender-bending society that we live in now in America.
Well, that would mean...
In fact, I wonder if that's who's behind it.
I wonder. Well, you know, I read one rabbi where he said that the perfect person of God would be a homosexual because he blends both male and female within his one body and one spirit. So he said that's the perfect being. Actually... in on the racial scale, this rabbi says that the superior race, the superior species, is a homosexual.
Wow!
And he goes from there. You know, first day you have the homosexual, and then you have the Jew, and then you have the Gentile comes way down the line there. You know,
so well you know, I guess Hollywood is run by all the superiors then.
There's
so many homosexuals, so many Jews. I mean, they've all congregated there. That perfect gene pool in Los Angeles.
Now, the Talmud. Where does the Talmud come in here? Because that's a very strange book, isn't it? And it teaches all kinds of things, and it has some bad things in it about Jesus and Mary and Christians, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, the Talmud is exactly what Jesus was rebuking when he walked on this earth and said that the Jews had made void the word of God by their traditions. Now, in Jesus' day, those traditions were oral traditions. You know, they were called the traditions of the elders, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees had all these traditions that were not found in the Old Testament. Well, eventually, around 500 A.D., those traditions were written down and put into volumes, and that is what we know today as the Talmud. It's about 36 volumes. It's a gigantic encyclopedia, and those who are Orthodox will say that the whole Talmud is the Word of God, and they're teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And the Talmud is filled with all kinds of just nitpicky, strange interpretations of the Old Testament, where they take something really simple that God said in the Old Testament, and then they just make it into something completely different. They make the true meaning void, you know, through their interpretations. But not only that, there are whole sections in the Talmud that deal with Jesus. A lot of times they call him by the code name of Balaam, in order to not get into too much trouble for saying bad things about Jesus. But you know, of course, they teach in the Talmud that he was a bastard and that his mother was a whore, and they teach that he is being punished in hell by boiling in hot excrement for all eternity. I mean, this is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what they teach about him in their most exalted book, the Talmud.
You know, that almost takes away my breath. I cannot imagine anybody saying that Jesus was born a bastard or that he's boiling in fiery excrement, or that his mother was a whore. That is so alien and so vulgar, so terrible. It makes me worried about that person. I mean, brings to mind all the demons of hell are worked into some statement like that. Don't you think that's a demonic belief?
Of course. And you know what's funny, though? This blew my mind. I took the Talmud off the shelf, and I actually looked up that part of the Talmud about Jesus boiling in excrement. And in the Talmud, the Jesus of the Talmud that's boiling in excrement is asked, you know, what we should do on this earth. And while he's boiling in excrement, he says, seek the benefit of the Jews. He said, they're the apple of God's eye, and make sure that you... you know, promote the Jews. It's bizarre when you then hear so many Christians saying that the nation of Israel is the apple of God's eye, and don't mess with Israel. Bless the Jews. They're the apple of God's eye. And that's what this Jesus of the Talmud is saying while he's boiling an excrement.
Wow.
You know.
And by the way, I have a book here in my library, a recent book, too, by Dr. Paul Schaefer, who's head of the Judaic Institute at Princeton University, very prestigious school. It's entitled Jesus in the Talmud. And he admits to all of these things very readily so and says, you know, that he recommends that all the rabbis in the synagogues teach these things that are in the Talmud. Some people out there might say, well, golly, this pastor and Tex Mars, they're saying things that aren't true. We cannot imagine the Jews having the audacity to put that in their most holy book, the Talmud. But in fact, Dr. Paul Schaefer says this is exactly what has been done. So I know you're not quoting him, but I'm quoting him. And there it is. Well, now, this has 613 laws. No wonder it's so long, but it certainly gives you a little insight to what the Jews believe on a lot of things. So what do they say about Christians? What are going to happen to the Christians? They hate Jesus Christ. They despise
him.
Yeah. What about Christians?
There's so much in the Talmud about it. And, you know, people should read Peter Schaefer's book because, honestly, you know, I don't see how you can write this off because, you know, Princeton University is not exactly a conspiracy theory institution. You know, this guy is a scholarly kind of a guy. When you read the book, it doesn't really seem like he has a dog in the fight. He just goes through and analyzes and shows you. It's a very entertaining book. The introduction's a little boring, but when you get into the chapters, it's very interesting. But in that book, he documents a story in the Talmud where this rabbi's grandson is dying. He's at the point of death. And a Christian comes and lays hands on him and prays over him. You know, he prays for him to be healed in the name of Jesus. Hmm. And the boy is recovered of his illness.
Uh-huh.
And this rabbi is cursing and saying that he would rather have his grandson dead than to be healed in the name of Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
that's the kind of disdain that they have for Christianity and Christians.
Hmm.
And there's all kinds of stuff like that in this book by, Dr. Schaefer from Princeton, where he documents all this. It's really interesting.
Boy, the Talmud, which, by the way, the formal name is Babylonian Talmud. That tells you a little bit about the origins of the Talmud. But this is the number one. They favor this, the rabbis, they favor the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, as their most holy book over the Bible. They don't even use the Bible. Or if they do, it's very, very slim. But I've read of yeshivas, you know, Jewish religious academies, sort of like our seminaries, our Bible colleges, where they talked about they went through all of their religious instruction. They came out as rabbis, and never 1 minute did they ever open the book of the Bible. I mean, you can talk about the Torah, but they don't even study that. They only studied the Talmud. That was all that they did. Not 1 minute. In fact, I have an article from the Jerusalem Report where a Jewish guy says, you know, it would be good for the Jews, the rabbis, to study the Bible a little bit because these Christians are getting ahead of us. You know, they're studying the Bible and debating us and winning. We need to study the Bible. And this article in the Jerusalem Report mentioned also that the rabbis had no idea what most of the Bible was all about. They believe it's a bunch of myths and fairy tales.
Every single one of these rabbis, and we talked to a spectrum in the film Marching to Zion. I mean, you'll see the Reform rabbi, which is the more liberal, but honestly, the vast majority of religious Jews are Reform Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Orthodox is the minority. But we did talk to the Orthodox rabbi, and even the Orthodox rabbi that supposedly is the fundamentalist, he said that it's, you know, the Big Bang, evolution is where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought of the creation story of the Bible as a myth.
Yeah.
And all of these guys denied stories of the Bible. I mean, this Reform rabbi that we talked to, he scoffed at the story of Noah and the flood. He scoffed at the story of the Tower of Babel. He scoffed at the story of Adam and Eve being taken literally. And then, you know, when you question him on the Ten Commandments, you'd think, surely the Ten Commandments are going to be sacred.
Mm-hmm.
He flat out told us that stealing is acceptable if society says it's acceptable. It's not an absolute where God tells us not to steal. It's just that, well, people get together and they decide not to steal. But, in fact, I think one of my favorite quotes in the whole movie of Marching to Zion is when the rabbi says, you know, if you don't steal, you're bad. And if you do steal, you're one of us. And that's got to be one of my favorite lines in the whole movie.
It really is. And, you know, I'm reading here. I've got an article in front of me about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's Jewish. She's a U.S. Supreme Court justice. She says that the Talmud is her guide, quote-unquote, guide for daily living. And without the Talmud, there would be no Judaism. So this is, I mean, without the Talmud, there would be no Judaism. Now that's an amazing, we would say without the Bible, maybe. Although I think there would still be Christianity because, you know, whatever God wants, he gets. But they admit readily that without the Talmud, there would be no Judaism. So this is an important book for them, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, I was out evangelizing not too long ago. You know, I was out knocking doors and giving people the gospel of Jesus. And I knocked on a door of a guy, and he was Jewish. And so, you know, he was very adversarial toward, you know, the Bible and Jesus and everything like that. And he told me, he said, well, you know, we follow the original religion. You know, my religion goes back a lot older than yours does, buddy, you know, because we're following the old. And I told him, I said, no, that's not true, because I said, your religion is based on the Talmud, which was written in 500 A.D.
Hmm.
And I said, I'm following the New Testament, which was written in the first century A.D.
Oh.
Well, actually, I've got you beat by 400 years. So just by pointing out the fact that the book that they follow is 400 years newer than the New Testament, this is what he responded with that. He said, well, you might as well shave your head then and be a skinhead and a Nazi and a white supremacist, that because you're clearly racist. Just because I pointed out that the New Testament predates the Talmud.
Wow.
That I was racist and anti-Semite and got angry at me.
You know, I was at a prophecy conference in California, out in Silicon Valley, and I spoke about the Talmud and various things, and had a Jewish man who came to me after I had spoken, and he put his finger in my face and told me I was an anti-Semite and a hater and all this. And so I said, well, what do you believe? He said, I believe in the Talmud, and, you know, went on and on. And he said, and I said, well, what do you believe about things like, oh, the creation? He said, the creation? I said, yes. You know, like the story of Adam and Eve and in the Bible. What do you believe about that as a Jew? Because you're telling me, and I'm anti-Semite, and I'm thinking this may be a point where we would begin. And he said, well, I believe that all of the people on Earth are seeded by aliens from outer space. I said, really? He said, yes, they're all seeded. And I said, well, where were they seeded? Were they seeded throughout the world? Is that the reason for all the races? He says, oh, no. It was one island in the Pacific. And then they disseminated, went all over the earth from this island. I said, so they're actually alien seed. He said, oh, yes, we come from other planets. And he was serious about that. And, you know, I don't think that was in his Talmud or the Kabbalah, either one, but, you know, maybe some little unknown verse there. But he was very quick to call me an anti-Semite when he had this strange thing about alien deities seeding mankind.
Wow.
And I asked him, did they seed Jews and Gentiles? He said, oh, yes. They chose the Jews as superior, and they seeded them. Then they seeded the Gentiles who are to be the, you know, the servants. And so, well, it's an incredible, these guys, they don't even know their own holy book, you know, but they make up these stories.
But you know, that story doesn't really surprise me after talking to all these guys. But you know what? I think a lot of people, when they hear you say stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
they think you're making it up because it's so wild. They can't believe it's true, but it is true. And that's why it's cool that we got to actually talk to the rabbis themselves. That way people don't have to take our word for it. They can actually see the rabbis.
Oh, I think this video is excellent for that. You're studying the rabbis. And, of course, after the video came out, now some of them, or at least their followers, are saying that they're a bunch of lies. They're accusing themselves of lying to you. And really, when you think about it, isn't that true?
Right, and, you know, nothing is taken out of context whatsoever.
Mm.
I mean, first of all, the things that they're saying in this film would not make sense in any context. Okay,
yeah.
But, you know, none of it's being taken out of context. I'd like for these rabbis to point out to me, and I even challenged one of them, they called me a liar, to point out to me anything in the film that was taken out of context. And he said, well, okay, there's nothing, but you didn't tell us that you were going to make a negative movie. They just assume that it's going to be positive. Well, you know, that's their fault for assuming that.
Well, that's true.
You know, one thing I wanted to mention that's interesting is that, you know, you mentioned last time we talked about how, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu came and spoke to the Congress and how Israel is such a small nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I was looking at some statistics on the religions of the world. And, you know, of course, they list, you know, 2.3 billion people, you know, claim to be Christian, and 1.6 billion claim to be Muslim, and 1 billion are Hindus, and, you know, 500 million Buddhists and everything like that. And, you know, different percentages of the population that claim these different religions. And it was funny, when it got down to Judaism, it said that it was 0.2% of the world follows Judaism. And, of course, if we were to talk to those, you know, 14 million people who claim to follow Judaism, very few of them are devout. Mm. Most of them, it's just to kind of, you know, show up on Hanukkah or whatever Day of Atonement. It's not a big deal to them. They don't really believe in it. But I just think it's funny when they talk about the great religions of the world and they list off the greatest religions of, you know, huge religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. But it's just amazing that Judaism would even be considered a major world religion when it's 0.2% of the population. It's negligible amount of people that even follow this religion. Yet everywhere you go, you see the Hanukkah decorations being sold and like it's some major religious tradition. But really what it is that we're made to think that the Jews are this huge segment and that Judaism is this major world religion simply because so many Jews are in control of the media, the publishing, Hollywood. They put forth this image. And even Christians will continually use the term Judeo-Christian.
Oh.
And, you know, I hate that term because I'm not a Judeo-Christian. I'm just Christian.
So if you're a Judeo-Christian, that would be sort of like being a Muslim Christian.
Chrislam. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, does it?
The same people who will condemn Chrislam, which, you know, they should condemn Chrislam,
mm-hmm.
you know, the merging of Christianity and Islam. And then in the next breath, they'll say, oh, Judeo-Christian. And often they'll say Judeo-Christian morals. But if you look at Judaism, they have a completely different morality than what we have as Christians. Because, you know, they teach that it's okay to lie and to steal and so forth. You know, the Kol Nidre Oath, for example. You know, you talked about that in your interview. About how, you know, every year they do this Kol Nidre oath where all the agreements and all the vows that they've made become null and void. And even the rabbi in Marching to Zion that tells us, hey, stealing's okay. As long as society thinks it's okay, then it's fine.
Now, on this Kol Nidre oath, they actually, before the year begins, they come in together in their synagogue and they make a pledge to God, saying that any oath they make during the coming year will be null and void in advance. And that's to make sure that if they contract with you or me and any other Gentile, they can lie. But they've already agreed in advance to lie. So that's like it's okay because we've already agreed to lie. And therefore, if we lie, then we can't be blamed.
And you know what's funny is that when I heard you say that, when I was listening to that interview, when you said it, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't believe it. And I thought to myself, come on, that can't be true. And I went out and researched it, and I looked it up, and what you said was 100% right. And I'll be honest, I heard you say it, I didn't believe it. I was skeptical because it sounded so bizarre, but it's true.
It really is. That's true.
I fact checked everything you said in that interview, and I looked it up, and sure enough, Kol Nidre. I mean, you can look it up in the encyclopedia. It's right there. It tells you all about it. Gives you the text in Aramaic and English. And
it's just amazing.
They have a completely different morality. So to say Judeo-Christian morals, no. See, Christians have morals like, you know, not to have sex before you get married. That's not a moral that Judaism promotes. You know, Christians have morality like that homosexuality is an abomination. Yet the rabbis that we talked to were fine with homosexuality. You know, the Rabbi Wiener, I remember him in particular saying, that oh, there's nothing wrong with being homosexual at all. So how is this a Judeo-Christian? Why don't we just call it Christian morality?
Mm-hmm. somebody began that, what do you call that, an oxymoron? It's like, you know, mixing Christian alcohol or Christian adultery. You know, I'm a proponent of that. That would be ridiculous. Well, now, Mike Huckabee, Governor Mike Huckabee of Arkansas, claims he's a Southern Baptist pastor. Now, I heard him on the Fox Network. Once a year, he says he goes to Israel, to the nation of Israel. And he was standing there, and you could see the gold dome behind him and all of that, the architecture. And he said, God gave this land to the Jews almost 3,000 years ago. And I wondered where that is in the Bible, and I couldn't seem to find it anywhere. Did he give that exact land to the Jews? And, of course, what are we talking about when he says to the Jews? Who does live in Israel today? Is it only Jews?
You know what? It's Jews and Palestinians and others. But honestly, I think that the Arabs, the Palestinians, probably are closer related to Abraham than the so-called Jews are, because the Jews spent so much time in Europe, you know, being mingled and mixed with the Caucasian, you know, European population. I heard the one guy say, you know, they left brown and came back white.
You know,
they came back with blonde hair and blue eyes. And honestly, those people who are living in Palestine probably are closer relatives of Abraham than the so-called Jews are today. And you know what's funny when they talk about, hey, God gave us land and all this? Well, if you remember in the Old Testament, God gave them that land all right, but when they didn't have faith, he did not allow them to enter the promised land.
Oh.
And that generation had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until they were all dead except Caleb and Joshua. They entered the promised land with a generation that believed the Lord. But even the generation that believed the Lord, when they occupied the promised land, they still lacked a little bit of faith because they couldn't drive out all the inhabitants, even though God wanted them to drive out all the inhabitants. And so, therefore, God left the five lords of the Philistines to be a thorn in Israel's side. And if you look at the maps in the back of your Bible, you know, the Old Testament maps, if you look at where the Philistines dwelt, it was the modern-day area of, you know, Gaza Strip. And in fact, one of the major cities of the Philistines in the Old Testament was called Gaza. So the Jews never occupied that Gaza Strip in the Bible because God said, I'm going to give that to the Philistines because, you know, you failed to obey me and you failed to do what I've told you to do, so I'm going to leave the Philistines here as a thorn in your side. So this idea that God just unconditionally gives them that land is a flaw. That wasn't even true in the Old Testament because other times when they worshipped false gods, what did he do? He took them out of the land and sent them to Babylon. Or he took large pieces of the land away from them and gave it to other nations of the Philistines and other people. Well, the question we have to ask ourselves is, did they turn to God in 1948? Did they turn back to the Lord in faith? And, of course, the answer is no. 99% of them reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that land doesn't belong to them. God didn't just give them a carte blanche. Hey, just have this land. You can blaspheme me and worship Satan and do whatever you want. But as long as you're of the right ethnicity, you can have this land. Hmm. I mean, that's just not scriptural.
Well, they're known as the gay Mecca of the world. I mean, the capital for Jews, the world capital. They have a world homosexual festival every year. And you mentioned before, the last time we were on together, Pastor, that really the Jews, or the nation of Israel, so-called, of the flesh, in the last days is going to be called, and I suppose is now by God, Sodom and Egypt. How could Huckabee be standing there, Pastor Huckabee, blessing those people, talking about what a wonderful people they were and nation, when they're rejecting the one that he says he loves, Jesus Christ? How can he be doing that? That's the question I want you to answer when we come to the other side, because thousands of Baptists and Assembly of God and Pentecostal and other preachers say that if we don't bless Israel, then God won't bless us. So are we to bless this nation when they hate Jesus? Are we doing the right thing by blessing them? What is exactly God talking about when he talks about the blessing? Okay? I want to ask that question when we return. I'm Tex Mars with Pastor Stephen Anderson. We're discussing marching to Zion. We'll be right back after this message. Hello, friends. You know, this video, Marching to Zion, produced by Paul Wittenberger, it's a tremendous video, 90 minutes long, just $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling. It's in DVD format. Marching to Zion, 90 minutes. It takes you all the way back to the beginning of Israel as a nation. It shows you in 1948 where the Zionist Jews came from and how they founded or refounded, supposedly, this nation of Israel. And it was considered a miracle by Christians, a blessing from God. But has it really blessed the world? Or have they gone into ethnic cleansing and genocide? Are they literally murdering the Palestinians? Could that be? How are they blessing the world? I know surveys of the world, the peoples of the world, say that the most dangerous nation on earth is Israel. How can it be blessing people when they're afraid of it? And it's got hundreds of nuclear bombs that Israel has threatened to use on the West, on Europe. How can they be blessing people when they're threatening them with nuclear destruction? We've got so many questions here. This video will answer them for you. It actually interviews four different rabbis. Ask them their opinions on all kinds of things. Are they really Khazars? Or can they trace their heritage all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You'll hear them tell you themselves. And they'll talk about their holy book, the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud. That's the one that Jesus said is the traditions of the elders. He said it actually nullifies the laws of God. It nullifies them. But these rabbis say, well, I've quoted, she's not a rabbi, but she sure, certainly is authority, a judge, Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court. She said it's the Jews' daily guide for living. Important, the Talmud. Jesus said it nullifies the word of God. Did Jesus tell the truth, or is he a liar? Is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, is she the truthful one? So many questions here. Marching to Zion, I want you to have this video. You've got to get this video. Buy a couple of copies. Give a copy to a pastor friend. Ask him to take some notes to show you where he's right. That, you know, he's a Zionist. He's for Israel. He says, if you don't bless Israel today, God won't bless you. You know, show where this video is all wet. Take it to your Sunday school class and show it. Discuss it. Now, they may get angry at you, but just tell them, I just want to know the truth. I'm just putting it out there for you. And, of course, study it yourself. Study the verses in the Bible so you'll have a good foundation. Get this video. It's going to be controversial. I promise you. Why? Because probably 70% of the Christians don't believe in this. Now, they don't know why they believe the other way, but they just do. And somehow they've gotten fastened on the Old Testament, and they just throw out the New Testament. And that's what Pastor Anderson is telling you. What he has done as a pastor is he didn't listen to the seminaries, to the Bible colleges. He simply read the Bible. There it is. God will give you the paradigm you need, which is the way of thinking. He'll make you a new person. Why don't you get this video and see if it lines up with what your heart is telling you, what God instructs you, what His Holy Spirit wants you to do. Marching to Zion. It's $20, $5 shipping and handling, total $25. It's on our website. You can get it there. Use your PayPal or your charge card. That's powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. You can phone us during the work week. Just call us and say, hey, give me that video, the Zion video, Marching to Zion. Our phone number, of course, is 1-800, toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Or you can send us a check or money order for $25. $25, that'll take care of it. Ask for the Zion video, and we'll send it right to you. Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. All right, now let's return to our regular program. Pastor Stephen Anderson is my guest today. Pastor Anderson, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Great to be back.
You know, this video is it shouldn't be controversial because you use the Bible and you give these rabbis an opportunity to tell their side of some of the big issues of today. But evidently, I mean, people are angry at you. The ADL, I mean, there's persecution that has come against you. Even your own congressman, he's a Jewish congressman. Maybe that answers it, why he's doing it. But these people are boiling mad at you for participating in this video. What persecutions have come your way?
Oh yeah, there's been a lot of opposition all along the way making this film. But yeah, literally, our United States Congressman Shapira, obviously he's a Jew, he stood in front of our church building and held a press conference on the local TV saying, you know, we got to stop this guy and he's preaching hate and blah, blah, blah. All over this film, Marching to Zion, he said, you know, that, and then the state Congress, that was the U.S. representative, a different state representative held a press conference at another church all about Marching to Zion, and the ADL was there and different people. The ADL has put out three articles attacking the movie already. The Southern Poverty Law Center has run articles on it. And just as we were making the film, we had so many people refuse to work with us because, you know, we're making a really high-quality film here. And so, you know, we're dealing with people in the film industry. And we had so many people just refuse to have anything to do with this project. We had a guy come in, and we spent hours with him recording the voiceover. And he seemed like he was fine at the time. But then, once he found out, you know, quote, who Pastor Anderson is, unquote, he demanded that we not use any of the audio that we recorded, even though we spent hours and spent money in the recording studio and everything like that. And his agent called me and said, you don't understand, Pastor Anderson. We have to be able to work in Hollywood. And they said, pretty much everybody in, and this is exactly what the talent agent said, pretty much everybody in Hollywood is either a homosexual or a Jew, and you've offended both.
Wow.
What she said to me.
Well, have you apologized for this, you know, grievous offense against the homosexuals and the Jews?
And so they said, you know, just because obviously if you're a Bible-believing preacher, of course I've preached against the homosexuals. But they've said, look, we'll never be able to work in this town again. You know, you need to make sure that you don't use any of this. And it's funny because Paul had already sent the check to these people to pay for their services.
Mm.
They wrote on the check devil money and sent it back to Paul.
Devil money.
You know, talk about a day where men call evil good and good evil.
That's true.
So here we are producing a film that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. We're producing a film that actually, you know, is not racist or hateful. You know, we want the Jews to be saved. We want everybody to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But, you know, these people, hate is their buzzword. You know, if you criticize Judaism, that's hateful to do that, according to these.
Okay, now that's a hate crime. They're calling this video a hate crime. Now, here's what I don't understand. You look at Judaism, and you say Judaism is wrong because they teach, for example, that it's okay to cheat, to have adultery, all kinds of things, as long as it's a Gentile. They can cheat the Gentiles. They can even make an oath and agree with God beforehand that they're going to violate their own oath, as long as it's with a Gentile. But in other words, they also say in this holy book, their holy book, the Talmud, the horrible things that Jesus is a bastard. He's burning in hell in fiery excrement. They say his mother is a prostitute who had sex with Roman soldiers and all that kind of nonsense. Now, that would appear to be a hate crime to me. If it was a religion, not even called Judaism, let's call it, what, Jupiterism, okay? You found out about this religion called Jupiterism, and they have a Bible, so-called, and the Bible says that this Jesus is a raving maniac that's in hell, burning in fiery excrement. And you wrote about Jupiterism being a hate religion. I would think that would go over pretty good with most people, wouldn't it? I mean, think about that. I mean, that's a hate crime for them to preach that. Now, I don't understand how the one who's black can call you a hate criminal when they're the ones doing the crimes. Enlighten me a little bit on that, Pastor.
Well, it's pretty simple, actually. It's just that hate is the buzzword where you say anything that isn't the mainstream view on any, if you say anything negative about any other religion or you say anything negative about homosexuals or it's just, oh, you're hateful, that's hateful. And, you know, I don't remember this being such a big thing when I was growing up. it seems like in the last 10 or 15 years, this has become the brainwashing of just, you know, everything's hate. Hate this, hate that, hate crime, hate speech. You know, that's just the agenda that's being put forth by the media that, you know, oh, hate's bad. You know, well, if you read the Bible even says there's a time to love and a time to hate. Now, of course we hate the Talmud. Of course we hate it when people blaspheme our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But
so basically,
you know, real haters are the opponents of this film, because honestly, you should see the emails I get. I'm getting all kinds of death threats, all kinds of vile, graphic emails threatening me, threatening my family. And, you know, and then you wonder who's hateful at that point.
Yeah, those sound like love notes to sounds to me. I mean, it's love notes. They're not hate at all. You're the hater.
if it's coming from Jews, if it's coming from homosexuals or liberals, then it's love. Even if they're talking about, you know, being violent, it's all loving. But if a fundamental Christian speaks their mind, well, then that's just hateful.
Here's the whole thing. Would it be possible, is there any network, NBC, ABC, Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, whatever, is there any network that would allow Pastor Anderson to go on and give you, let's say, 30 minutes time, and give any rabbi in the world 30 minutes time to rebut what you're saying and to maybe attack what you're saying, and each of you can clarify it. Is this a hate crime or not? Is there a network that will do that, allow you to talk about the Talmud? I mean, they talk about the Bible all the time on TV. Is there a network that we can go to and listen to? You know, they can make fun of you after you're finished, but at least give you half an hour.
Well, I guess the question would be, is there a network that's not owned by the Jews?
Well, I already answered that. They're all owned by the Jews. So,
well, then we're probably going to have a hard time finding that network then to do that.
Yeah, you know, the American Historical Association just turned down a book I was reading by a woman, a very accurate book, but it's not favorable to Israel. The American Historical Association, turns out that the director, executive director of the American Historical Association is a Jew, Dr. Grossman, and he didn't want the book to be published, and so that's why they didn't publish it. But the American Historical Association is supposed to be for all history, whether you're pro or con, but they don't want to accept a book that's negative about Israel or the Jews. It seems that they've already made up their minds what's going to be hate and what's not, and you've got to be tolerant of their choice. Why aren't you tolerant?
Well, you know what? I don't believe that tolerance is something that the Bible teaches, in the sense of us just looking a blind eye at lies and false religion. You know, both Old and New Testament, men of God have always preached against the false religions, the false teachers. You know, the Apostle Paul named all the names of the false teachers of his day, people like Alexander, Philetus, Hermogenes, Phygellus. He called out the false teachers and false prophets. And that's part of our job as men of God, is to point out this error, not to just sit back and quote-unquote tolerate it by not even talking about it. And, you know, somebody needs to remind these people that sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know, nobody's being violent unto these people. It's just, they're scared of ideas. They're scared of words. I mean, it's a video that tells the truth from the Bible, and they act like we're massacring or something here. I mean, it's just words. In fact, you know, I don't know if you've thought about this, but when you think about the Muslim population of the world, you know, there are 1.6 billion Muslims in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not saved. You know, they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They're steeped in this false religion. But I would say this. I would love for the Muslims to get saved. I would love to win them to the Lord. And thank God I have, over the years, won a few of them unto Christ. But I don't know if you've thought of this, but this Christian Zionism, this false teaching of Scofield that's not biblical, I think that in many ways it is turned the Arabs away from accepting Jesus as their Savior, because of the fact that they look at Christianity as being sort of the stooges of the Jews. You know, that we Christians are these rabid Zionists that have been deceived by the Jews in Israel. And I think that there are many Muslims who don't want to hear the gospel of Jesus because they associate Christianity with Judaism. You know, this Judeo-Christian, they put us all in the same boat.
Many Christians also associate They believe that by promoting Zionism, they're promoting Jesus, which is sort of crazy since the Zionists despise Jesus.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, we're translating this movie. You know, some of our other films have gone into Spanish and so forth, but this film, Marching to Zion, is being translated into a multitude of languages. The trailer has already been put into 70 languages. It's going to go into 100 languages total. And I'm not talking about just subtitles. The DVD does have subtitles in English, and you know, your audience that's hearing impaired, there is an English subtitle and also Spanish and German on the DVD itself. But we're producing a fully dubbed version of this film into Arabic, into Persian, and of course, you know, the European languages, Spanish, French, German, Portuguese. And this movie's going into 15 languages, the whole movie. And I hope that some of the Arabs and Persians will get a hold of this film and realize, wait a minute, here's what the Bible really says about Jesus, and here's what the Bible really says about Israel. And I think that many Muslims will be saved as a result of seeing this film. And I mean that, because they'll realize that Christianity is not just a pro-Israel religion, it's a pro-Jesus religion, and they can actually get the truth of what the Bible teaches.
Well, you know, I think we ought to compare what each religion says about Jesus. Of course, to me, they're both false religions either way. But
of course, right.
We do know that Muslims say that Jesus is a great prophet. They just, let's say, he's not the Son of God, and he never was resurrected. But they say he's a great prophet. They even say he's going to come again and defeat Lucifer, the devil. I mean, and they say Mary was a great woman. And all of these things that the Muslims actually believe in and teach in their Quran, the Jews deny, and they have horrible things they say about Jesus. So on that basis alone, I suppose if you had to choose one over the other, I would probably choose, well, I just wouldn't choose, but certainly
yeah, but
Islam.
They're both false religions.
They are.
Judaism is definitely worse. And I'll tell you this. I've done a lot of evangelism for the last 15 years. You know, I've been out knocking doors pretty much every week of my life for the last 15, 16 years. And I'll tell you this, 99% of Jews whose doors I've knocked wanted nothing to do with the gospel. They won't even let you present the gospel to them. I've rarely even had one even let me go through the Romans Road and, you know, show them the plan of salvation. But I'll tell you this, most Muslims that you meet when you go out door to door, they will at least listen to the gospel. They'll at least let you show them the Bible and show them the scriptures. Now, obviously, most of them don't get saved, but some of them do get saved. Some of them do convert, you know, to Christianity. But even if they don't convert, they'll still listen. But it seems like Christians have completely lost sight of evangelizing the Muslims. They're too busy falling all over themselves to be pro-Israel and foaming at the mouth at these horrible Arabs and Palestinians and Iranians that they've stopped realizing that, wait a minute, you know, these people are just deceived by Islam. And we need to tell them about Jesus. We need to love them. We need to get them saved. And honestly, we're a bad testimony to 1.6 billion Muslims because of the fact that, number one, we have this bizarre Zionist teaching that's unscriptural. And because, number two, the Jews, through Hollywood and through their Judeo-morality, have taught us to accept homosexuality and things like that. Well, you know, the Muslims aren't very impressed with that either.
Mm. Well, now, one of the items that I think is very important when we're talking about Judaism is the Old Covenant versus the New. Now, when Jesus came, he brought with him a new and better covenant. That's what the Bible says to us. What happened to the Old Covenant? Because many people write to me and they say, Tex, you must believe in the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant is still here. I mean, if a Jew believes in the Old Covenant, they can be saved without even a knowledge of Jesus, just by believing in the Old Covenant. They really strongly believe in the Old Covenant. In fact, all of these preachers that I hear from all the time, I mean, they stand up for that Old Covenant. They say it's still here. But doesn't the Bible have something to say about that issue?
Absolutely. And the Bible's crystal clear in Hebrews. It says, in that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So the old covenant is no longer in effect. He has made a new covenant that supersedes the Old Covenant. It replaces the Old Covenant. Now, a lot of people misunderstand this, I think, because we call the first 39 books of the Bible, we call that the Old Testament. And of course, I'm not saying that, you know, hey, we don't read the Old Testament, we don't believe the Old Testament, because of course, those 39 books are the Word of God, just as much as they were, you know, before Christ came. It's the eternal Word of God. That's not what we're saying. But when we talk about the Old Covenant, we're talking about the old agreement that he made with man. That Old Testament has been replaced with a New Testament. And I love how the book of Hebrews calls it the Better Testament. It says that Jesus has brought in a Better Testament. And it's funny, when we were talking to this rabbi for the film, he very smugly said to us, "What you Gentiles call the Old Testament, we call the Only Testament." You know, and my response to that would be, well, you know, what you Jews call the New Testament, we call the Better Testament. Because that's what it says in Hebrews, the Better Testament. But I've seen Christians get uncomfortable when you use the term the Better Testament and show them those verses. They start squirming, and they're not comfortable with it. But, you know, it's what the Bible says, that the New Testament supersedes and replaces the Old Testament. The Bible says that the Old Testament, it, you know, has waxed old and vanished away. It is no longer in effect. And if these Jews want to be saved, if they want to be God's people, they have to do it on the terms of the new covenant, which is through Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
So the old covenant has been done away with. It doesn't even exist anymore. And I suppose that God must have found fault in that and said, I need to give my people a new and better covenant. Is that what that's what the Bible says in Hebrews?
That's exactly what the Bible's saying. And, you know, people don't have to take my word for it. Hebrews 7 through 10. You know, they need to take the Bible off the shelf and read Hebrews 7 through 10. Really, the whole book of Hebrews, because a lot of this is not about the book of Hebrews.
That's not some dim passage. That's very, very clear. You just read the
passage. Yeah.
For if the first covenant had been faultless, there should no place have been sought for the second. And that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which deceiveth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. I mean, using the old covenant now would be a deception. Now, why is that? Is it because the new covenant it tells the story of Jesus and the gospel?
Old covenant, it doesn't say deceive, it says decayeth.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, decayeth. And the reason why it says that the old covenant decayeth, and it's using basically the image of a person, you know, they die, and basically their body decays, you know, and then there's a new generation that rises up, and so forth. So what the Bible's teaching is that the old covenant has decayed and vanished away, and we're under the new, better covenant. That's what the Bible teaches. And again, we don't want people to misunderstand and think that we're saying that the 39 books have vanished away. Of course, those are still the Word of God. Those will stand forever. We still believe and preach, you know, the whole 66 books of the Bible. But when God says the old covenant is no longer in effect, he's not talking about the scriptures there. He's talking about that old agreement. Because remember, a covenant is an agreement where he says, if you do this, then I'll do this. You know, if you follow these laws and get circumcised and keep my statutes, then you will be the chosen people. You will be the holy nation. That was under the old covenant. Well, what is different under the new covenant? The new covenant says that if you believe in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So it's no longer about dwelling in a physical nation, getting a physical circumcision. Now it's just about believing in Jesus Christ.
But what is the promise? Sure. What do Jews and Gentiles get? What are we offered? But what is the opportunity of this promise? What is the promise?
Well, you know, the promise is, for one, that God will bless those who bless us and curse those who curse us. And it's so funny how Christians will apply that to Jews when really it applies to us.
That's true.
And we've been defrauded of the promises of God. You know what the Bible's actually saying there? It's saying that we as Christians, if God will bless those who bless us and curse those who curse us as Christians, because we're the children of Abraham, we inherit them. The Bible says as many as are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And of course, the promise is that we'll be God's chosen people, that we will inherit a home in heaven, that we will have all our sins forgiven, that as far as the east is from the west, so far God has separated us from our sins. You know, I'd much rather have Jesus in my heart and a home in heaven than some piece of property in the Middle East to fight with a bunch of Arabs over.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the truth? Well, I get many Christians who say, I don't want that promise. That was given to Abraham. I don't want it. I've had several tell me that. You know, they don't want the promise. And I'm thinking, well, the promise is the kingdom of God. You're turning it down.
You know what that reminds me of? When they say they don't want the promise, that reminds me of Esau, who didn't value. He didn't value that promise.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's
so
true.
He's willing to just give it away for a physical object.
Well, now, it says in Galatians 4 about deception and bondage, it says, for these are the two covenants, the one, which it's already said decayed and old, which gendereth or leadeth to bondage. The new is for those who are free, who have the promise of God. So in other words, the new covenant of Jesus on the cross, that's our promise that will make us free. But if we try to stick with the old covenant, it leads to bondage, to slavery. So there the Christian can either accept the bondage by denying the new covenant, or they can say, no, I want the old covenant for the Jews. But that will lead to bondage. I mean, they won't be free. So we're saying basically we want the Jews to remain in bondage, aren't we? I mean, that's what we're saying.
Right.
If we say, no, the Jews, we want to keep the old covenant for the Jews. If you do that, then you're saying we want them to be a slave to Satan.
That's a great point. That's exactly what that passage is teaching.
Wow.
You know, something that you brought up earlier that we never got to talk about was, you know, whether these rabbis know more than pastors. You know, there are four rabbis in the film and seven pastors. I'll tell you right now, you know, I'd rather listen to the seven pastors in the film. But the bottom line is that so many Christians today think that rabbis somehow have this special understanding, and, you know, we can go to them and figure out what the Bible really means. And we need to ask these rabbis what the Old Testament means. But they're forgetting that the Bible says that when they read the Old Testament, they have the veil over their eyes. And that when their heart turns to Christ, then the veil is removed. So what the Bible teaches is that the Jews literally read the Bible blindfolded, according to what the 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us. That they are reading it veiled, blindfolded. So why would I have a blindfolded rabbi read the Bible to me and tell me what it means? In fact, I think Jesus said, it's the blind leading the blind, and then they both fall in the ditch.
Oh, that's true.
And anyone who does not have Jesus in their heart, the Bible says, is blind, period.
Wow. Well, you know, it says the natural man, that means the unsaved, the person who does not know Jesus Christ, receiveth not the things of God. He can't receive. He can't know those things because they're spiritually discerned. He has no spiritual discernment.
They're foolishness unto him, the Bible says.
That's right. So,
right.
Well, I'll tell you, Pastor Anderson, we've talked about a lot of things. There's so much more in this video, Marching Design. I'm just praying that people will get this video, study it, listen to it, give it to other people, make it a big item of controversy. But more than anything else, be blessed personally by this video. And I want to thank you for all of your time. You spent 2 hours with us, and I know you spent probably hundreds of hours working on this video and getting it ready. And so I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you've done for the cause of Jesus.
Well, I appreciate it, and I want to thank you for being a part of the film. You really brought a lot of great material to the film yourself.
Well, it was my pleasure, really. My pleasure. And so we'll go for now, and I hope to have you again soon here on Power of Prophecy.
Sounds good. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. That was Pastor Stephen Anderson, pastor from Faithful Word Baptist Church, and we've been covering a lot of things about the Word of God and, the awful truth about Judaism. Most of all, I'm delighted that you've been with me today as my special guest, and I pray that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.